It is interesting to note the changes which have occurred over the past years in the church calendar and how it celebrates it. For instance, the color for Advent has been in transition from purple to blue. Saints' days are being highlighted, and the Gethsemane Sundays, that is the three Sundays before Lent, used to be Septuagesimae, Sexagesimae, and Quinquagesimae Sundays. They are no longer. No longer are there the Sundays after Trinity, but the Sundays after Pentecost. No longer are Holy Week services as important. You now have new Sundays, like Christ the King Sunday and Passion Sunday. Passion Sunday? Yes, move over Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday is moving in. Perhaps the reason is that Holy Week services, which stress the importance of the Passion and stress the story of the Passion, are no longer in existence or are very poorly attended. You know, it is a shame that this is happening, because both Palm Sunday and the Passion are being shortchanged. One can realize the importance of the Passion story, but Palm Sunday, some would say, it's not much of a loss to lose it. Contrary. The triumphal march into Jerusalem is one of the more important events in Jesus' life. If this were not the case, all four Gospels would not have felt the necessity to report it. It is an event that has no uncertainty as to its historic validity or the fact that it did happen. This is one of the few events that is agreed upon by all four Gospels. The question then becomes, why is it so important? Why should we give a designated Sunday, Palm Sunday? For starters, the importance of the event is that it is the sign of the beginning of the culmination of God's message to us through the life of Jesus. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem focused the attention upon the acts and the message of Jesus and his ministry. His life seemed to come together and resonate among the masses by the time of this event. Ministering in the towns and villages throughout Galilee and Samaria and Judea, Jesus' status, notoriety, and popularity were widespread and growing. People were hearing about the miracles which culminated, and especially the miracle of the raising of the Lazarus from the dead just days before. Many actually heard him speak, and many had heard through the grapevine what he had purportedly said and done. They heard things like the kingdom of God repeated time and time again. They had also heard that his son, the son of a carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth, kept referring to the Son of God. After all, it is as if he was the Son of God himself. What was one to believe? After all, Even some Pharisees secretly followed him. On the other hand, most of the religious leaders, the scribes, the Sadducees, the priests, and other Pharisees were openly rejecting him. Secretly, they were concerned over the power and influence he seemed to have over the growing numbers of his followers. Even the Roman authorities began to take notice of this movement and the possibility of it turning into a rebellion. Of course, all this fueled the Jews' hope that this Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah who would lead Israel to its rightful status as a nation above all nations. Word kept spreading with each new miracle and each new report of the kingdom of God being at hand. As word spread, so did the curiosity of the people. Who is this Messiah? Who is this Jesus? Hope was also building that it may not be long. Be long before this new Messiah would make his move. With each new report, each new rumor, the Jewish authorities became more and more threatened. This threat was not without justification, since this Jesus of Nazareth was continually questioning their actions and even threatened the authority of their interpretation of the law. This constituted the threat over their authority and power over the Jews and Jewish life. Even they too had longed for the political Messiah. Now the perceived Messiah seemed to be a real threat to their existence and thus became their enemy. Throughout his ministry, Jesus was openly confronted by these authorities so as to turn his followers away from him. But you know, nothing they did seemed to work. John records the Pharisees throwing up their hands at the time of Jesus entering into Jerusalem. Throwing up their hands. The Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." They were right in uttering their complete frustration, for Jesus' popularity reached its zenith at the time that hundreds of thousands had gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Word spread quickly that this Jesus, the Messiah, was about to enter the city. Word spread from those who had witnessed the raising of Lazarus from the dead and reported it to these people. So many gathered along the road leading into the city. They spread a carpet of their robes and branches on the road so that their new king would not dirty his feet or breathe the dust. Their anticipation was high in their hopes of getting a glimpse of this godly warrior who would lead them to overthrow the Roman authority. Such a royal warrior would surely be riding a horse, which symbolized the power of a great military leader and king. But to their amazement, their Messiah, their king, came in view riding a donkey, a royal symbol of a peace-seeking king. Must be a mistake. Perhaps this is just a ploy to have the enemy let down its guard. Surely he will soon exchange the donkey for the power of the horse. Therefore, they continued to keep their hopes alive. And they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory on the highest heaven." But this Jesus kept on riding. Kept on riding. Quietly riding. He made no gestures. No more gestures of a warring king. Nor did he give any speeches to incite the people. Nothing. He just kept riding peacefully through the excited and noisy crowd, riding right into that city. It must have been an extremely bewildering and confusing time for all of his followers and those who came to be a part of political history. Their hopes and dreams were slowly crumbling before their very eyes. You could just barely hear them say to each other, "Just another imposter. Just another imposter trying to seek attention. We fell for just another rumor." The significance of the event was that those gathered that day, and even his closest followers, had missed the real message of the Messiah, the Son of God. They misunderstood the message of God's love and forgiveness and the real message of the donkey, God's peace on earth. They missed the message that Jesus, the Messiah, had come to conquer the real enemy, sin, through the example of love, forgiveness, and peace. They were his weapons. They missed the message of God's grace. They missed the real importance of Jesus entering the city of Jerusalem. They missed it because of their preconceived notions of how God would restore his chosen people and the establishment of the kingdom of God. Just another false alarm. And all the to-do was about nothing. Being in a state of disappointment, they could easily be persuaded by the Jewish hierarchy to think Jesus to be a blasphemer and one who was trying to destroy the sacred traditions and institutions of Jerusalem, of Judaism. They only had to see what Jesus had done when he entered the city. He went to the temple and caused a near riot by trying to change the traditional way of doing sacred business of the temple. Therefore, the crowds were easily convinced to change their hosannas. Crucify him. Crucify him. Why is Palm Sunday important? Simply put, because it is a reminder that we are a part of that crowd watching Jesus ride down the road of life. We too like to make Jesus into the Messiah we wish him to be. We too often only hear that which we want to hear and that which suits our lives. We too often will follow so long as it may mean something for us in the here and now. We too will think twice when we are confronted by the real Jesus and his kingdom, which demands our very lives. Hosanna, or crucify. Palm Sunday is an important event in the life of the Christian, for it is a time we are confronted with the real Jesus. It's a time when we either end our hosannas with crucify him, or with my Lord and my God. So he continues to ride down the road of life, and we continue to have the opportunity to see the real Messiah in our lives as we stand by. Hosanna, crucify my Lord and my God. Amen.